Yes, it's Friday, July the 4th, big old party in the USA. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been stateside on the 4th of July, like me, you've probably gone, wow, do they love their fireworks. Anytime you're in the U.S., 4th of July, especially in the days leading up, you can't drive anywhere without seeing on the side of the road someone who set up shop selling fireworks. And one time I was in Vegas on the 4th of July, I think we were on the 14th floor of a hotel, and the sun had just gone down, and the whole city lit up. Like, I mean, everyone in the U.S., no matter where you are, fireworks are a big deal on this day. And it's kind of cool. Like I said, when I was on that 14th floor of the hotel, it went on for hours, too, like through the evening. People just set off fireworks galore in their backyard. Pretty tame by our standards here in Canada on Canada Day. But in the U.S., yeah, fireworks are everywhere. You'd be amazed. In addition to parades and fireworks today, of course, Joey Chestnut returns to Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest. He was banned last year, right, because he had to deal with a plant-based food company. That deal is over with now, so he's back. I love, too, how they make the hot dog eating contest such an event with all the hype and the big intros, right? Because, you know, they have the announcer weighing in at the equivalent of 2,300 hot dogs.
And they say he shall live forever, for he does not do it for money. He does not do it for glory. He does it for his people. He does it for his country. He does it for freedom. The Nathan's famous 4th of July champion of the world.
Those intros. I always look forward to that guy coming up with a creative intro, and I'm sure he will again today. He'll try to beat his old record, Chestnut, of 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. He did that back in 21. He hasn't beaten the record yet. He's won a few times since, but hasn't beaten his record of 76. Oh my goodness. That is a disgusting amount of hot dogs. Joey Chestnut. I don't think he's coming to the Queen City X this year. Years past, he's been in donut eating contests, but I don't see it on the website for the Queen City X. How about the heat?
Some like it hot, hot town, summer in the city.
Oh my God, it's so hot.
That's hot.
That was a hot one indeed. We hit 34, 93 Fahrenheit yesterday. Moose Jaw was 35. That's 95 Fahrenheit. And honestly, from a kid's perspective, when it gets that hot, it can only mean one thing.
I go to the spray park and have fun with my friends.
Go to spray pad and squirt people.
Yeah, any spray pad or pool you were by yesterday, they were just packed. Kids loving it, of course, probably ignoring mom's call to put more sunscreen on, but that was a cooker. And there were some late afternoon tornado warnings, too, in the extreme southeast corner of our province. Hot and humid conditions producing thunderstorms. They were rotating quite rapidly. That's why they came up with a tornado warning. And storm chasers were in the area, confirming nothing really touched the ground. But they did say there was quite a bit of hail in around the area of Manor, Saskatchewan, and it moved into Manitoba, where wind gusts got over 115 clicks, so nothing serious. But we spoke with Environment Canada's Dan Fulton about the incoming smoke tomorrow.
A few days ago, an awful lot of lightning in central and northern Saskatchewan. That actually ignited quite a few more wildfires. So as the weather progresses, we're expecting the wind to shift to the north in southern Saskatchewan, and that's going to blow the smoke from those wildfires down over the south, and that'll affect the air quality. A little bit too early to say exactly how bad it'll be. It's really hard to predict the fire behavior and things like that, but it's definitely going to be a bit smoky this weekend.
Sweet summertime. It's backyard fun. It's vacation. Kids out of school at the outdoor pools to beat the heat. It is camping. It is just a great time of the year. Everyone seems like they're in a great mood. Some maybe not quite as great of a mood yesterday. That heat, as much as I love it, I know there are those who just get overwhelmed by it all, and it's a little uncomfortable, but the weather going to be a little more comfortable the next few days. Daytime highs in the mid-20s here. I know in Moose Jaw yesterday, there was lemonade, ice-cold drink stands, and ice cream sellers that were the busiest on Main Street because they closed Main down from Ross to Manitoba for the Kinsmen Sidewalk Days. And it rolls on a couple more days. Donna Fritzky is head of tourism Moose Jaw, told me it's a huge draw for the city.
It is absolutely incredible. We have 25,000 people came last year. We have so many visitors and our locals come out to stop in and have a visit. And it's so amazing. You have to come and see it. The whole streets are all blocked off downtown. And we have vendors and food and we have entertainment. And we have a children's village for bouncy castles for kids. It's absolutely amazing.
Today, only 2 days to go, 10 till 8 today. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. You got food trucks. Like, how big is this?
This is huge. It's 9 blocks long. We have over 200 vendors. A lot of storefronts, they put out all of their, you know, all of their items. And we have probably 30 food vendors as well. It's a real celebration.
And the weather, I know it's been stinking hot. It's starting to moderate a little bit, which is good. Tomorrow, lots of live entertainment as you walk up and down Main.
Well, there's a main stage at the Grant Hall. It's called the Battle of the Bands. We have three different artists that are going to be performing, and we get to vote on who we think is the best. So that's a lot of fun. There's buskers all the way along the streets. We have balloon artists. We have face painting. It's a family event, and we're just looking so forward to spending time with our community and having some fun.
Donna Fritzky, head of tourism there in Moose Jaw. It does sound like a lot of fun. I've been in years past to Sidewalk Days, and I don't know, something about maybe headed there tomorrow to wander up and down Main and listen to some live music might be a little fun. I know some of you perhaps headed to Calgary bright and early this morning. Maybe you're vacationing at the Calgary Stampede. It begins. It'll be a sea of cowboy boots and hats and Stampede kicking off this morning with a parade led by none other than country superstar Shania Twain. It is Calgary's biggest event of the year, and it attracts something like over 1.5 million people, and maybe even more this year, with a lot of people talking about wanting to staycation within Canada this year and avoid the U.S.
That don't impress me much.
Hey, speaking of Shania, this impresses us much. Her foundation is giving $25,000 between six different nonprofits in Moose Jaw ahead of her show there on Monday night. That means 75,000 meals at the Moose Jaw Food Bank, they tell us. So rather cool. Shania did that. No, don't pass the Dutchie on. Dutch L disease season is running rampant through Regina earlier than usual this year. City telling us 17 confirmed cases this year already, and city crews have had to haul out the dead ones. Ray Morgan, no relation, but Ray is director of city parks, told us that the city is on pace to beat or exceed last year's losses.
Our projection is it's going to be a long season for Dutch elm disease, so we're about 2 weeks earlier than normal, which is concerning.
And of course, you might be asking, what the heck is Dutch elm disease? You hear about it a lot, so what specifically is it?
Dutch elm disease starts choking off the vascular system of the tree, which causes the tree to eventually get wilting symptoms, tree branches are dying, and eventually the tree is dead.
And what exactly can you do to help? Well, you can avoid elm pruning till at least the fall. Don't move any elm firewood. And just watch trees for yellowing leaves or dead branches. I'm going to go into a little more detail with this with my buddy Rick Van Dyvendijk, host of Garden Talk, is going to be here just after the 6:30 news this morning. And Rick can always dumb it down like I'm five and make me understand it better. So I'll get more on Dutch elm and pass it on to you through Rick after 6:30 news here this morning. See, Jammy News Time now is 5:57. My friend Ruth Smiley, who's retiring from all those years at Dark Hall and Globe Theater, dropping by to say goodbye to you and me after the 6 o'clock news. See you then. Greg Morgan here. Hope you're all set for a nice, sunny, mild weekend, although a little wildfire smoke may bother some people tomorrow because it looks as if they're probably going to be alerting us to air quality tomorrow. There are a lot of wildfires, sadly, with this hot, dry weather reigniting from lightning largely, but some of that smoke coming our way tomorrow. We are a little closer, aren't we, to the biggest party of summer. Just think of it. Week from today, we'll be in the thick of it. Craven Country Thunder is back, and it starts next Thursday, goes through Sunday. You've probably heard Def Leppard, the closing act on the Sunday evening. Bailey Zimmerman, super hot, returns to Saskatchewan. Jason Aldean. And so many others. I got another pair of weekend passes with camping included, a prize package worth well over $600. And I thought to enter this morning, we'd talk about your summer vacation plans. I saw someone post their vacation pic last night with a caption that said, finally disconnected. And I thought, from where? The group chat? Because you're uploading photos of you from a kayak. But anyhow, tell me this. What's your summer plan? Are you really going to unplug yourself? You got a vacation plan besides going to Craven. Don't just text me and say, it'll be at Craven, because I know you want to win these tickets. But I don't care if it's a small or big plan, maybe even just hanging out in your backyard, renovations. Let me know what your summer vacation plan is. And use your first and last name with whatever you write and text to 1-877-300-7275. That is my text line, 1-877-300-7275. First and last name in your summer vacation plans. That's your entry to win this prize package to see all those great acts and more for free in the camping. It's weekend passes for two. Craven Country Thunder. All right, text away now. Here she is, Ruth Smiley, founding CEO of the Dark Hall Society, who is retiring. And many of you remember her years, I'm sure, with the Globe Theater, too. But the last five or six with Dark Hall, she's been busy. Ruth, a fixture here in our Regina arts community, has played a key role in renovation and reopening of Dark Hall. But you're saying enough is enough. Time to say goodbye. And I'm happy you chose to do it on my show, Ruth. Thank you. Welcome.
Nice to see you.
Well, you've accomplished so much with Dark Hall in the last few years and prior to that, Globe Theater. So let me go to Dark Hall for a moment here. How that theater has transformed itself through the renovation, through what you've done. I still think it's one of those things that not enough people know about.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it was closed for so long. And so we've really been focused on trying to bring people back.
How would you distinguish it from Globe Theater?
Well, it's primarily a music venue, although we also do theater. But I think the greatest distinction is that we don't make it, we present it.
Yeah, I'm going to catch you a few times. You say we as if you're still working there. Remember, you're retired, Ruth. So it opened a couple of years ago after extensive renovations. It's a premier theater now. And of course, Globe Theater has undergone its renovations here too. Does it make it easier for Regina now to attract arts and culture?
Yeah, they do. The challenge was that there was no appropriate 500-seat venue for artists. So we were a flyover. And we have, you've seen it, it's absolutely gorgeous, the renovations. But we also have incredible acoustics, fantastic equipment. We have a Fazioli piano, the only one in Saskatchewan. It's a real destination now for artists.
Yeah. Think about it. If your time in theater were a play, what would the title be? Take your time.
Can't think of a single plot line. Okay, I Made It Better.
Nice. I like that one. That could be the title of your book you should write, too. I know what you're going to do, Ruth.
What am I going to do?
I figured it out for you. You're going to take some leisure time, but you're going to write your own one-woman show. And you're going to return to the stage and be the star attraction. Would it be a comedy? Would it be a love story? Would it be a romantic evening with Ruth?
It would probably have to be a comedy, or else I'd be crying.
Ruth Smiley's my guest. Do you have people come up to you over the years and say, hey, Ruth, thanks. What's that feedback been like?
I get that a lot. It's very humbling. I don't think you ever completely get over imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of, why me? How did this happen?
Over the years, you know, either through radio or television, you've always been gracious to me, coming on my shows and allowing me to be, show up at Dark or Globe Theater to put the spotlight on someone. And I just wanted a moment to have you on my show now to say thank you for everything you've given to our community. And I don't know, maybe you want to say something to our community over the radio airwaves.
I do. I am so grateful for all the opportunities that I've been given and for the tremendous support that this community has provided to Globe Theater and now to Dark Hall and to the performing arts and to the arts. This is a pretty exceptional community. So this is the only city I've lived in, and I've lived in many, many cities, where when I arrived, I received cards from the mayor, the premier, city council members, business leaders, welcoming me to this community. That's exceptional.
Well, you probably got a few cards from some of those people already to say thank you. And I say personally, thank you, Ruth Smiley. You're just a gem, and it was nice of you to take the time to come on my show this morning.
Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate your support.
Oh, I like waking up on a Friday morning where there's a lot of blue sky and sunshine, and the weekend has arrived. Short work week for many, although it seemed to crawl by. Maybe it was the heat. Pretty suppressing feeling for some people yesterday. If you hate the heat, 34 here, that's about, what, 93 Fahrenheit, and Moose Jaw was 35, 95 Fahrenheit. In the CFL last night, on the eve of the Calgary Stampede that, of course, starts today, the Bombers had arrived for the Stampede Bowl. That's what they billed the game last night. It did not go well for Winnipeg. The Stamps were up 29-6 by the half, and a few minutes into the fourth, leading 30-9, Zach Collaros would be intercepted again.
Intercepted! It's taken away by Moncrief! This is a dagger! Can you believe it? Pick six the other way, second of the game for the Calgary defense. Not a flag in sight, and Calgary stampeding their way to a victory here against Winnipeg.
I have to admit, I was flipping around the dial last night, and I watched part of that game, and I was enjoying every moment of it. I love when the Bombers lose. Vernon Adams Jr. threw a couple of touchdown passes. Stamps win 37-16. The green and white, now the only undefeated team in the league. And of course, Calgary will visit us next Friday at Mosaic. The Bombers now 3-1. They will head into their bye week. But they called it the Stampede Bowl to drum up interest in association with the Calgary Stampede. And something like 22,000 fans were in the stands. Most of them were wearing cowboy hats, and TSM was there live in the end zone. They really wanted to make a bigger deal out of this because, like our Banjo Bowl, they're trying to make it a yearly event, which I think is a great idea. Great idea, as a matter of fact. And Poison lead singer Bret Michaels, he was the halftime show.
Are you ready over here?
Bret Michaels, I didn't think it was a bad idea. Good for the league to kind of drum up interest. I think that's top dirty to me, isn't it? Yeah, I think that was it. Anyhow, Bret Michaels is there wearing cowboy hat too and whipped up the crowd. Hey, yesterday, TSN's Dave Naylor was on the Green Zone and told us who he thinks is the best team in the league right now.
I think when Davis Alexander is playing, it's still Montreal. Hamilton has all those weapons on offense and a healthy Bo Levi Mitchell, and Montreal's defense, you know, declawed them for most of that game. So I don't think we saw any less appreciation for Montreal's defense based on them losing to Hamilton. But I think that you see the difference when Davis Alexander isn't there. I think a healthy Montreal Alouette team is the best team in the league. But I'll tell you, what really has me intrigued about the Saskatchewan, well, a few things, but one of them is the schedule. I mean, here they are at the bye. It's 4-0. Look at the schedule. Calgary at Regina, Saskatchewan at BC. We just saw what that looked like. And who knows, Nathan Rourke may be back then, and that would be a totally different game. And then you've got Edmonton at Saskatchewan. Without getting too far ahead of ourselves, it's not hard to say those are all very winnable games for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and they could be 7-0 when they ride into Montreal on the 2nd of August in what I think we all already forecast as a battle between the two best teams in the league. And yeah, the thing that one of the things that just stands out to me about Saskatchewan is winning the line of scrimmage, right? Leading the league in rushing yards per game, number one in rushing yards again, high in sacks, low in sacks given up. You know, we can talk about the stars of the game and the exciting plays, but a lot of people will still tell you that football is won in the trenches at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's where it starts for the Rough Riders. You know, given that they've been dealing with a number of injuries, you know, teams will always say, quarter way into the season, we've had so many injuries. Well, they all have, but you know, Saskatchewan said the injuries, they're 4-0.
TSN's Dave Naylor on the Green Zone. CFL action tonight starts with the Ticats in Toronto, and tomorrow the Lions are in Montreal.